God be honored by what we do here this morning. I'm thankful that we get to join each other in heart and in worship to be one body of Christ here in Saratoga. To all of our brothers and sisters here, I'm very encouraged with you being here. For all of our visitors and family visitors especially, we're glad that you're here. A warm welcome. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, that's where we're going to be reading here in just a moment. Mark chapter 4. I encourage you to open up a Bible if you have one, or if there's someone next to you who has a Bible, you can look over their shoulder. We're going to be reading Scripture this morning, and it is going to be most useful to you to see it for yourself. If for some reason you are not able to turn along, if you find yourself wrestling a toddler or baby, or forgot your readers at home, this Scripture will be on the slides to help out whoever it might help. Our lesson is titled, Find the Silence, this morning. I want to ask you a question to start. Do you ever have time to think? Does anybody have time to think anymore? Do you ever have the quiet to think? We live in a fast-paced world. You hear that sometimes in documentaries or things like that. It is true. We live in a noisy world. There's always something vying for our attention. There's always some noise that can be listened to, whether you choose to or not. Whether it's your phone beeping and notifications going off, or the radio that plays music and advertisements 24/7, TV that plays all the time, or a streaming service that can show you thousands of movies and shows anytime you might want to watch them. There's never time for quiet. There's never a time when the phone says, you've done enough scrolling, we're going to turn it off now, unless you choose to do that yourself. The TV will run constantly unless you turn it off. Recently, I've noticed this in the last couple years, and it really puts sand in my gears. They've started, in some gas stations, they'll put advertisements at the gas pump. I don't know who dreamt that up. They need to come to Christ. I mean, you get out, maybe you've done a road trip, and you're there at night, and it's, you know, you've been driving, you just want to get out of the car and breathe a little bit. You're pumping your gas, and immediately they're hitting you with a volume, high-volume ad about who knows what. It's like, just give me time to think. Give me some silence. When we mindlessly and unintentionally are consuming information that is being given to us and blasted to us all the time, ultimately what we're doing is we're letting someone else decide what we're going to dwell on and what we're going to think about. We have instructions in Scripture. God tells us to set our mind on the higher calling of the gospel, to set our mind on the virtues of God. But if we spend all of our attention on things that ultimately maybe don't matter that much, or that are being provided to us by some company, some broadcaster, some whatever it might be, we're not choosing what we think about. We're not choosing what fills our minds. We're letting someone else, or maybe some big company, fill our thoughts for us with all sorts of things, very few of which are godly. And this is, I think, what we see in Mark chapter 4. If you've turned there, this is where, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus teaches many parables by the Sea of Galilee. And he starts with the famous parable of the sower. He says, a sower went out to sow, a farmer is planting a seed. In verse 4, as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured it. Jesus only taught in parables here in Mark 4. He doesn't explain them to the crowds. And the disciples later ask him, Jesus, what did this story mean? What's the point of this parable? Why would a farmer put seed on the path where birds are just going to eat it and it doesn't get in the dirt? And this is how Jesus explains the parable. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones that fell along the path where this word was sown. When they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Jesus says, some people hear the gospel. Some people hear the truth about God. They hear a word about who Jesus really is. How many of us have had thoughts come to us, or we read something in Scripture that sticks out to us, but immediately we're distracted by something else? It's one of the drawbacks of using electronic Bibles sometimes. Those are very convenient. You don't have to pack around a big book all the time. But the problem is, when you use your phone, sometimes you get a notification while you're trying to read. It's like, here I am, I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, and someone just sent me something on Facebook or Instagram or fill in the blank, or a bank has sent me a notification about scams or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about the Lord. I'm thinking about something else. Jesus attributes this problem to Satan. And the only thing I'll mention on this is that I think one of Satan's most used tools is simply distraction. He doesn't have to tempt you to become, you know, a violent oppressor of the church or a horrible offender against your family or your wife or your husband. If he can just distract you from the Lord, if you end up spending no time thinking about God or praying to him or thinking about your life as a Christian because you're distracted, then he's done his job. Now, it seems like people cannot handle quiet these days. You go to a waiting room at a doctor's office or a gas pump. You sit on an airplane. You look at people in their own living rooms, and what are they doing? They're looking at something on their phone. That was 10 seconds of silence. How many of you said, okay, wait a minute, what's wrong? Something's not right here, you know? Who is he looking at? Something like that, you know? Why is it quiet? We can't stand the quiet. We have to have something. There's something to look at. There's something to read or listen to. But I tell you this morning that silence is a gift from God. Having the space and the quiet to reflect on God and to spend time with him is absolutely necessary. Absolutely. One of the prime examples of this is Jesus himself. We're here in the Gospel of Mark. If you turn back a few pages to Mark chapter 1, Jesus shows us this pattern in his own life. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 is where we're going to read. Here at the beginning of the gospel, Jesus bursts onto the scene, and he's immediately impressing people. He heals a leper, he casts out demons, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. He's healing all sorts of people, and everyone is excited about this Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody's been crowding to him for days now. But where do we find Jesus early in the morning? Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there Jesus prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. That is why I came out.' And so he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." It's not just that people wanted Jesus' attention. I mean, this is who Jesus is. This is the work that God has given him when he came down and took on flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. He came here to find the sinners, to save those who are lost. And when they come looking for him, they don't find him. And so what do we think? Is Jesus shirking his duties? Is he not doing all that he could do? Jesus is taking the time to reflect on things, to sit in the quiet and to pray to the Lord. There's always something that we can do constantly, and we can mark it off as productive. We could say, well, Jesus could have healed however many people if he started that early in the morning every day. There's a million things you could read or watch, and you can call it productive because you're using your mind, but it doesn't mean it's actually useful for you. Jesus said the most useful way to spend my time early in the morning, before I get busy with my day is to spend time with my Father. The disciples are looking for him, and it seems they're a little surprised. It's like, Jesus, don't you know, like, you are the man today? But Jesus had one priority first. And if Jesus had to do this, you know, we think of anybody who's close to God. We think of anybody who might not need to pray. It would be Jesus, of course. How much more so do we need to put the effort in and take the time to draw near to God? We see this example, this is just one more, in that holy man Elijah the prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah has a major fallout in his life. Elijah was an outstanding man. He lived for the Lord. He was ready to die for the Lord. He had great highs, and he had low lows. In 1 Kings chapter 19, he has one of those low moments. He's thought that he's done the right thing and stood up for the truth, and he's going to turn the people back to God, but it's not worked. He has not been the one-man army that the Lord needs or that the nation needs. And he's depressed, and he's just about giving up on his life, and he wants to run away from it all. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. As he's running away, look at verse 7 with me. It says, "The angel of the Lord came a second time to Elijah and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you.' And he arose and he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Elijah had a lot on his mind. He was distressed about the state of his nation that he loved. He was distressed about the worship of God. He was distressed about his own purpose as a prophet. Had he failed in his life's work? And the only reason I bring this up this morning is to show you that it took 40 days of being alone for Elijah to get any sort of breakthrough in this. It took time to be alone and by himself before he could make any sense of it, before the Lord spoke to him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing?" There are times when we're going to go through difficulties in our life, and you're not going to find an immediate solution, not by listening to this right podcast or have you read this verse, and maybe if you just read it 3 or 4 times, it'll sink in. Sometimes it takes time and quiet to focus on whatever it is, to think through the problem. Our world is more and more lacking the time. If we can get an answer quickly, if you can Google it and you get an answer in 2 seconds or less, it's like, that's all I need to do. That's all the reading I need to do, all the thinking I need to do. But God does not always move so quickly. And surely we ourselves do not move so quickly. We have to take the time. Now, something I want to make clear as we are looking at this sort of thing is that when we talk about taking the time for silence, for quiet, for being alone, that is not the same thing as what we might call me time. Sometimes the kind of pop psychology, self-help sort of circles, they'll overlap with the circle of faith. And it's like faith can become a just do what makes you happy or do what's best for you. And that's not what faith is ultimately about. And I bring that up to tell you this morning that when I talk about looking for solitude, making quiet in your life to spend time with God, it's not just to make us feel better. This is not a self-help practice that's supposed to, you know, ease your mind or set yourself at ease or something. We don't look for quiet in our life just to have some relaxation. There's time for rest, right? There's 6 days in which you shall work. There's 1 day to rest with the Lord. That's what the law says. But when we think about looking for silence, it's ultimately meant to spend time with our Lord, not just by ourselves, not just to, you know, put the kids outside and tell them to stay outside until I've had my 30 minutes to just rest. That's not the same thing we're talking about. Maybe both of those things are necessary at times, but they're not quite the same. Let's look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. here in this song, in this prayer, the author says it this way, Psalm 77 in verse 11. He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made yourself known among the peoples. The saint who wrote this psalm starts by saying, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. It is important to remember what God has done for us in our lives. If we're only ever just living for today, just looking out for what I need today or what God can do for me today, we're living a shallow life, an ungrateful life that's forgotten what God has done for us. One of the ways you'll see this in Scripture is that time and time again, past the book of Exodus, you have so many psalms and prophets talk about what God did for them, saving the people from Egypt. And you think, well, that happened centuries ago by the time Ezekiel lived or the minor prophets lived. But the reason they keep bringing it up is because they refuse to forget what God had done for them in the past. They took the time to say, do you remember that time that the Lord brought us through that? You think, well, what does that have to do with today? Maybe it's not immediately relevant to what's going on today, but maybe it will be tomorrow. This isn't a sermon that's going to tell you that you need to, you know, run your phone over with a truck or something and live off the grid. There may be a time for that. Maybe today's not the day. But here's something that's helpful. You know, sometimes your phone, in one way or other, will show you a picture from, you know, 1 year ago or 3 years ago or whatever it might be. And it's easy to look at that and say, oh, look how cute that was, or look how much weight I've lost since then, or how short my hair was, or whatever. But you look at some of those things and you think, man, the Lord has brought us far since then. Have you ever had that sort of experience? You look at a picture from 4 years ago and you think, we were going through it at that time, and here we are. And we've got food on our table, and we've got a roof over our heads. We've got people that love us. Take the time to remember what God has done for you. Not just looking at a fun picture or a cute memory, but remember the Lord. Take the time to do so. Solitude is for remembering what God has done for us. Solitude is for working through our current struggles. Lamentations 3 says it this way. The book of Lamentations, as you might have guessed, is a book of sorrow. After the destruction of Jerusalem, it's a collection of songs or poems mourning God's judgment. It's a hard thing when God judges you, and especially when you know that you deserve it, as the people of Judah did. But the reigning theme that sticks out in the middle of the book is one that thanks God for his faithfulness. And in the midst of the struggle and the pain of judgment of God and discipline from our Heavenly Father, they reflect on the goodness of God, and they say, things are not better now. Things may not be better for a while, but I trust God to see us through it. This is what it says in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Sometimes we need to use quiet. We need to use time to be alone to reflect on hardships that we're going through. This is the way of wisdom. It's looking at our lives and saying, what are the lessons that I need to be learning? If you feel like you keep hitting corners or brick walls, if you feel like you keep suffering or struggling with the same thing, take a second to think about it. Am I doing something? Is there some wrong intention in my heart where I keep falling into the same pit? If I keep struggling with the same sin over and over, why might that be? What is my weakness to this temptation? What has God told me about these things? Where can I read about it in His Word? When we're suffering, sometimes the best thing we can do is to be alone and to reflect on it. Whenever Job's life melted, you think about, if you remember Job, the first couple chapters, he's a rich man, he's a blessed by God, he's a righteous man, but he has everything taken away from him. He loses all of his wealth, he loses his health, he loses all of his children. And when his friends come to visit him, what is the first thing they do? Do you remember? They see him far off, they don't even recognize him. And they come and they weep with him, and they sit with him in silence for 7 days and nights. That's what Job needed more than anything. So when we're going through hard times, or when someone we love is going through hard times, maybe the first thing we do is not send them 15 links to a really helpful video or article that I saw online, or here's 20 Bible verses that I read that are really going to help you with this. There's maybe a time for that especially. But maybe the first thing we need is to be quiet about it. To give them a hand on their shoulder, give them a hug, to pray with them and say, this might be hard for a while, but the faithfulness of the Lord is great. He will see us through the other side when we come to Him humbly in faith. One more thing. Solitude is for remembering God's virtues. Psalm 62. We're going to start reading in verse 5. Psalm 62, another prayer or song to God, says this from David. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be moved. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. What's surprising to me about Psalm 62 is that he begins by talking about silence. He says in verse 5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. And so you're thinking, well, this is probably going to be a quiet psalm. This is going to be one of those really subtle, timid sort of prayers. But what he continues to say in his prayer is loud praise to God. He says, I'm going to wait quietly, but I'm going to remember the greatness of my God. He says in verse 6, my only rock and my salvation, my fortress, my salvation rests on God. He is my sturdy ground. It is very, very important for us to spend time alone with the Lord, not just when things are difficult, but when things are well, to remember God's goodness. Do you ever have a friend who reaches out to you or calls you or needs you whenever something's wrong, but they never just come to hang out? Maybe you are that friend. If you find yourself doing that, you should probably switch that up. How is it that we want to build our relationship with God? Every relationship takes time, takes effort. You're not going to be someone's best friend by talking to them once a week. What kind of relationship are we going to have with God if we only go to Him when we're in trouble? We don't pray when we're grateful. We don't take the time to be quiet in the morning and to pray to Him or to read His Word. But when we're in trouble, when we need something, when we've sinned and we want forgiveness, I'll pray for sure. I'll pray louder than I ever have. But when things are good, are we gone? That's no true friendship with God. That's I need something and maybe God will give it to me if I ask nicely. No, God calls us our Father. He says that we are His children. Spend time with your Heavenly Father. When things are well and when things are not, to remember how great He is. This morning, our lesson is about finding the quiet. And I'll just leave you with two really quick takeaways, and the lesson will be yours. The first is make it happen. none of us are going to stumble into a healthy pattern of living where we take the time at the right times to spend time with God. There's always plenty of things grabbing at our attention and responsibilities that we must tend to. But we will make the time for the things that need to get done. All of us make the time for the most important things to us. And so this encouragement this morning is to make the time, to be thoughtful about it. And this does not mean that you have to spend every single morning waking up at 4 a.m. and sitting alone in the darkness of your room. But it does mean that maybe the next time you're tempted to pull out your phone because you're bored, the next time you're in a waiting room and everyone else is on their phone and you feel a little weird not being on your phone, so you're going to pull it out, maybe take a second and stop. Maybe close your eyes and pray in your heart to God. Maybe if you've got 30 extra minutes or 10 extra minutes in the evening, go out on your back porch and sit in the silence and think about what God has done for you. I say this to myself as much as to anyone else. It's easy to be distracted, but the higher path takes effort. And secondly, it takes momentum. If you want to affect a change in your life, you're not just going to go cold turkey one day and change all of your habits immediately. It might be hard for a while, but the more and more that you can do this as an individual and as a family, we have to do this. Take the time to turn the TV off, you know, however many nights a week, and say, we're not going to watch anything. Let's just take a moment to talk about our lives. Let's take a moment to think about things that are eternally important. What are the things that we're encouraged about or thankful for lately? I hope this is a helpful lesson as we see the pattern of Jesus himself looking for quiet time to spend with God and the reasons we might do so. And this morning, as we continue in our worship, it's going to be noisy. We're going to have people talking. We're going to sing together. We're going to pray together. But when we go home, and maybe after the festivities and after all the deviled eggs and things have quieted down, remember the silence. Remember the quiet and the time that we have as an opportunity to draw near to God. Let's all pray together.